your city, our city. Because we live here too.
Cambridge 105.
Half past five, time to talk to my guest today, who is Tom Blake. He is the CEO of Cambridge Imaging Systems. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. And you?
Good, very well, thank you. Good. Welcome to Cambridge 105.
Thank you.
Now, your company is based in Willingham, is that right?
That's right, yeah. We've been out there for about 20 years.
Yeah, and I hear that you're based in, and you're not based in a fancy flash office or anything like that, it's just out of the house, essentially.
Yeah, converted farmhouse, really. Yeah. Until recently, there were even some greenhouses in the garden. Unfortunately, they've gone, which to make way for a new facility, new buildings.
Yeah.
But it was always our backup plan to grow tomatoes in case it all went wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well,
you don't need to do that anymore.
No,
I hope, anyway, not by the sounds of it. So, is it quite nice to be able to work out somewhere in Willingham where it's nice and quiet? You haven't got the problems with getting into town and being stuck in traffic every day.
Yeah, it really is. And we thought about it about 2 years ago when I got involved in the business. I was looking at moving, because we're a software company effectively, and we were looking at having a glass fronted office, you know, as in keeping with the brand.
Yep.
But when we polled all of the staff that we've had, and they've been with us for years and years. One of the key reasons they enjoyed working with us was they're doing the reverse commute, making the way out of the city in a very relaxed, nice, hospitable environment, really. So we're there, and we're going to stay there, and we're going to build up there.
Well, it's refreshing to meet someone from a software company that isn't based on the science park or the business park, you know. So that's quite different. So your company is Cambridge Imaging Systems. So give us a brief synopsis as to what the company does and how long you've been going for.
So the company was founded in 1991, the first iteration of it, by my father and a local gentleman by the name of Paul McConkey. And the company has been developing software products for government and corporate clients to digitise film and video archives, put them online and make them accessible to the general public, or to find new revenue streams for old content.
Mm-hmm.
And a good example of that is we were involved in digitising the Imperial War Museum's film collection. Now, believe it or not, they've got one of the greatest film archives in the world, really.
Mm.
About 20,000 hours of footage, which dates right back to the First World War, of course. And now, it's been the centenary of the First World War. A lot of people are wanting to see that content again. And our software is helping the Imperial War Museum to bring that back to life, put it online, allow the broadcast and production companies and schools and universities to have access to that content, make new programs and for educational purposes, really.
Mm. So this is something that as time goes on is more and more popular, because people watch things online all the time now, and people want to see things that aren't available to be able to watch online. They want to still watch this old content, but they want to have a more modern way of viewing it. So that is great for your business.
It's fantastic, and to socially engage with it. Now, we're all used to using YouTube, of course, and many of us will use iPlayer or 4OD and other catch-up services. But you know, you can't buy one of those for yourself. These are massive software products and infrastructures. We've developed a product which is called Imogen. And you can wrap your own brand around your own website and have content, video content, for your own exclusive audience. And, you know, bringing content to back to life, really. Some fantastic archives, such as the old British Pathé newsreel archive, which, you know, there's some real iconic clips in there that we're actually used to seeing on our screens. Then there's more modern collections, like we've been involved with the Premier League and bringing the 20 years of Premier League archive online.
Yep.
Now, that's obviously not always for a consumer audience to view, because there's lots of rights management and contributors to that content. But it's there, it's accessible for broadcast and production companies to find and use again.
Yeah. So your industry, are there many other companies doing what you're doing? Is it a competitive industry for you to sort of tender out to these people that want their material digitised?
Well, yes, it is. There are, but there's, at one end of the spectrum, there are things like YouTube and the Vimeos of this world that we as consumers would use. At the other end of it are the very traditional broadcast production, what we would call an asset management system.
Yep.
And we're a new way of bringing content from and bridging that gap really from the broadcast systems all the way through to the online experience for the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a new way of tackling an existing problem.
Mm.
But yes, it's competitive. But we believe that the scalability of our software, the number of users that can access it, and the reach of it, and importantly, the fact that you can make your content, present it through your own website, is what's really different for us.
Have you got a particular favourite thing that you've been involved with, favourite project from a personal point of view?
Yeah, this year we've just been working on something called Bob.
Right.
Bob National, actually, and there are 70 universities around the country that access Bob National.
Mm-hmm.
Bob has off-air records everything that's broadcast in the UK, probably even this what we're talking about right now, and makes it accessible to students to create clips, put them into their presentations.
Okay,
and we've got about 150,000 students who access that now. And we have an archive of over 1 million television programmes in there, basically bringing the entire BBC archive from 2007 to the current day and ongoing. But not just BBC, there's even French and German television channels in there. It's been an amazing project to be involved in.
Wow.
But and that's one of several. But everything historically for us was a very bespoke project.
Mm.
And the challenge has been, as a company of our size, is how we can break from just being a project company into having a product that we can see a global market for.
Yeah.
And and that sort of led us to speaking to investors, led us to... Looking around at what our options could be to accelerate our growth, and that's really where we are at the moment.
Mm. So this investment that you've got from the Cambridge Innovation Capital is from what I've read is for you to be able to take your business more international and to expand. So tell us about Cambridge Innovation Capital and who are they and how did you get involved with them?
Okay, well, Cambridge Innovation Capital are a new venture capital fund. So what they do, these venture capital funds, we probably all think of Dragon's Den and businesses going and pitching to angel mm-hmm. investors. Well, there's a little bit of that. They're for a latter stage investment. This isn't just a Theopathesis sitting there and let's see if I got his name right. But this is a very well organised team of professional investors who have taken money from the large London investment companies like Invesco and Lansdowne, plus some contributions from Cambridge University, and they've aggregated a fund of £50 million,
mm-hmm.
all to be deployed into and invested in Cambridge-based companies. And the thing that attracted us to them over any of the other investors that we were talking to at the time was their ambition, or really their reason for being, which is to ensure that companies that... have got great technology, great market opportunities, stay in the Cambridge area.
Yep.
See, what so often happens here, and I don't know the exact stats, but there's only been something in the region of 10 companies in the Cambridge area that have gone on to be worth $1 billion or more.
Right.
Yet Cambridge technology can be attributed to more than 100 companies worth $1 billion or more.
So is that because they all relocate and they get bought out by bigger businesses?
Absolutely. They don't find the investment they need to stay in the local area, and so they inevitably sell out to the US companies, typically, or other UK businesses as well. So that motivation, that drive, was what attracted us to them as an investor. We're a Cambridge-based company. We want to stay a Cambridge-based company, as we were discussing at the head.
That's important to you, to stay as you are, mm-hmm. and not be bought out by a big corporate.
Well, not yet, and hopefully when we do, we'll be established as a big Cambridge base, if that is what eventually happens. Obviously, so we worked with our investment director there, Victor Christou, who took a great interest in our business, and took a lot of time to work up a deal and to go through the process of looking at the technology, the quality of the technology, the size of the market opportunity, and also the quality of the team that we've put together, and that's really what we've we are really the team that we've got.
Yeah.
When it all comes down to it, we're a load of fantastic software code, of course, but we're the brains that have put that together.
Yeah.
Of which I have to confess that I am not one of those.
You just lead everybody else.
Well, yeah.
which is a very important job in itself.
And evangelising. Yeah. They do the hard stuff.
So how long has this been on the cards for? At what point did you start talking to these guys and it sort of led us to this present day? I imagine it's probably quite a lengthy operation, isn't it, and time-consuming?
Yeah, I would think it was 9 months door-to-door.
Yeah.
But that's from when we first started our discussions. But I mean, the real decision for us was made when I joined the business, actually, when I took over from my father back in 2011. I didn't really mean to get involved in the business, to be honest with you.
It just happens that way,
just does. In fact, I had a very nice career at the time in the medical equipment industry.
Okay.
So I knew nothing about this. And I looked at his business plan and thought I'd have a... see if I could contribute some knowledge to it or whatever, just mm-hmm. try and help out a bit. And I, as I got involved in it, I became totally engrossed, and which led me to give up a career, move my family back from my lovely home in Switzerland that I was enjoying working in that job, and to come and try and turn this company into what it could be, which we did. And we've moved from project to product, but then we just kept hitting the same brick wall that we never quite had the funds to jump over the next hurdle.
Yeah,
really.
So what are you going to be spending this investment in? What is the project?
Almost entirely recruitment.
Right.
So we're currently a business of, I think we're about 30 people at the moment.
Okay.
I would hope that by this time next year we'll be 50. Lots of growth to go beyond that. Now, obviously, it's not just about recruiting the right people. We've got to put them somewhere as well.
Yep.
So I'm afraid to say the greenhouses are no more. we've had to take those down, and we're putting another building on the on the park where we sit.
Yep.
And housing everybody there.
Okay.
So that will be a mix of software developers. Mm-hmm. So if you're a very good web developer, we have an opening at the moment, so I want to say that. We're looking for salespeople, both here in the US and in Asia Pacific region,
mm-hmm.
where we've enjoyed our first few sales.
Yep.
But I'm having to sort of do that servicing and support.
A lot of travelling involved.
Well, a lot of travelling, but it's also a lot of long nights, because when our business day finishes at 5 p.m, the Pacific are just waking up.
Yep. So a lot of meetings on conference calls and things.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So we need to staff that. The opportunity's there. We just need to staff it well.
Mm. Well, it's exciting to see a local business that's getting the opportunity to expand, and I hope that this does work out for you. It certainly sounds like it's going to. It is very exciting. Where can people find out more information about your company, or if anybody's listening that fancies applying for a job as well?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So to find out more, obviously, the website is the best place to go, which is www.cambridgeimaging.com.
Okay.
And start there, and you'll see the vacancies posted. So,
am I right in saying that there are a couple of other companies that got the investment from Cambridge Innovation Capital as well? One of them was called Origami. And the other one was called Duke Deck. Are there three of you? Is that right?
That's three to date, yeah.
And there'll be more as time goes on, I guess.
Yes, I'm not sure how much they've deployed of that first 50 million.
Yeah.
Many more to come, I should think.
Definitely. Well, as I know that Victor, you mentioned him, was going to be here today, but unfortunately was busy elsewhere. So we'll perhaps have him in again as do a separate follow-up on this, because it's quite an interesting topic as well. And bucks the trend at the moment. It's nice to see local businesses thriving and not being bought out, as you say. It's happening quite a lot in this area at the moment. Thank you very much, Tom, for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you very much.
It's been nice to meet you.